Unity of Farmington Hills, a powerful path for spiritual living.
Well, good morning, Unity of Farmington Hills. Welcome everyone today. I know it's a rainy day, kind of a rainy weekend, but that's okay. We're welcoming in fall. The leaves are finally changing. So thank you for being here. Powerful daily word today. So it's forgiveness, something that I know we all struggle with. And it's important, though, so we want to get in that forgiveness mindset. Forgiveness is our path to peace. It's how we release what no longer serves us and how we open our hearts to God's healing love. So when we let go of judgment, hurt, or regret, we make room for joy, for grace, and new beginnings. All right, so let's get in that mindset. This morning, Reverend Kelly continues our journey through the seven churches of Revelation, helping us uncover what it means to live with spiritual strength and divine clarity. So as we begin, our opening song reminds us that no matter what we carry, our doubts, our fears, even our mistakes, the Spirit of God within us is always greater. So let the truth come alive.
And greater inspiring. Like, I want to start dancing or something.
It's not on our script, but I think yesterday we treated up to 300 children at Trunk or Treat. So, great job, everybody. So, good morning, Unity of Farmington Hills, guests and online viewers. Welcome to our new member service, an inspiring message from our Reverend Kelly. I'm Carol Franz. It's a pleasure to be your platform assistant, and I will share upcoming events with you today. If you are a first-time guest, please take a welcome packet from the usher as you leave the sanctuary. Join us after service in the social hall for fellowship and light refreshments prepared by our wonderful hospitality team. We want to express special thanks to other members who also donate tasty dishes and treats. Dr. Lynette Kelly is hosting a Reiki Energy Share, Reiki, thank you, on Saturday, October 25th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in Room 2, for Reiki masters and practitioners and those who are interested in Reiki to share practice, I'm gonna know that word, to share practice, experience, support, learn, and grow. To sign up, contact Dr. Kelly at, do you want me to say your phone number here? Or is it up there?
You can say it.
Okay, 248-310-2724 or reiki.therapy or email at reiki.therapy.m@gmail.com. Oh, there's no RM here. So I don't know if we can put that up here or something. Okay.
It's up there.
Oh, thank you.
You're good.
Sign up quickly. There's limited space. $20 love offering donation. On our annual Thanksgiving Day food drive begins next Sunday, October 26th. It runs through Wednesday, November 19th. Please donate cans of vegetables, potatoes, stuffing, other dry food, diapers, formulas, and other things. Cash donations are also acceptable. Last year, we set a record of 62 boxes for 62 families. Yay. Again, gratitude for your generous donations and volunteer contributions. This says let's do it again, but I wrote in here maybe even more than 62 this year. Fall yard cleanup this year is Saturday, November 8th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Please bring your yard tools, gloves, and garbage bags to help our garden team clean up, put away items, and prepare our grounds for winter. To stay abreast of current and upcoming events at UFH, please take a handout available in the lobby, visit our Facebook page or website, or read through our newsletter emailed every Friday. To receive our weekly newsletter, complete the form at the bottom of our homepage. A prayer chaplain will be available to pray with you after service today near the patio doors. Everyone is asked to leave the sanctuary immediately following the service to provide a quiet space for prayer. And now, as the music team sings Surely the Presence, let us prepare for the new member ceremony. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm a little shuffled today because I'm running late. I was running late, but we're going to get started. Yeah, you can bring a, can you bring that table back there? The Dennis, would you mind, Dennis Muzzy, bringing that round table back there so that up to the front so that anyone who is participating in the new member ceremony can get a rock and put it in with our rocks. Thank you. Let me put it right here. Thank you so much. I forgot to do that beforehand. So I appreciate that. Yeah, that's good. Okay. So we're about to do our new member ceremony. Before we do this, I want us to get centered. So I want you to gently close your eyes and take a deep breath. Exhale deeply. Just bring your consciousness down into your heart. And those of us who are already members of this beautiful congregation, let your hearts open and become welcoming energy even more powerfully than you already are. And those of you who have already filled out the membership form or who are thinking about being new members, just let yourself center in your heart even more so that you can follow your spiritual guidance to step forth and be a part of our spiritual community. And if you still are waiting, that's fine. But we want you to know that you are welcomed in this space. Let's take another deep breath and exhale deeply. And those of us who are recommitting ourselves, I know we already did it in the beginning of the year, but it's nothing wrong with recommitting ourselves. Let your heart open up even more to be expressions of, and those who are not recommitting, that's fine. If you don't want to stand to recommit, that's fine. But right now in this moment, we're going to open our hearts to recommit to our vision, our mission, and our values, which we will be saying in this ceremony. And I want you to just say, thank you, God.
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 For being with us today.
For being with us today.
And so it is, amen.
So it is, amen.
Okay. So, again, hello, everybody.
Hello.
I just felt led to do that. I know we don't normally do that, but I follow spirit, and I just felt led to bring us on. Hi, Peter. I knew that was you. Good to see you. I didn't mean to call you out. Both Peters, Peter Allen and Peter Albertson. I knew that was you. Good to see you. Good to see you back. So I'm just, you know, it's been a while since he's been with us. So thank you for coming and joining us. All right. So Unity of Farmington Hills is a spiritual community centered in God, gathered together to co-create a loving and compassionate spirit-filled world. That is our vision for today. And I want you all, the congregation, I want you all to go ahead and recite the mission together. We are our mission. We are a loving and vibrant spiritual community. We teach and inspire all to experience joy and abundance and to practice sacred service. Our mission shapes our today. Our vision prepares us for tomorrow. We prepare for tomorrow when we embrace our values. Let us affirm our values together.
As Unity of Farmington Hills, we live by these values. We are welcoming. We are spirit-filled. We are diverse. We are empowering.
I'm tongue twisted. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, and always ineffectiveness. Concerning all of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidences, meetings, and material assistance, which one person could have not dreamed would have come their way. We ask that those of you who seek to be members of Unity of Farmington Hills or who have already filled out the membership form, and even if you haven't filled out the membership form, if you'd like to become a member and be acknowledged as a member of Unity of Farmington Hills, I invite you all to step forth now. come on up. Oh, thank you. Look at these. Exciting. You can come over this way too. Uh-huh. Yep. Come on down. Andrew, can you come over on this side? The balanced. And then on the board, we're I'm gonna let you all, we're gonna do a blessing and everything, but we ask that the members, those of you who are choosing to become members, indicate so by stating what's up on the screen behind me
and
in front of you. If you want to look in front of you up there, you can do it up there too. You can do that together. I now make a commitment to Unity of Farmington Hills. As a member, I commit to uphold the vision, mission, and values of the church, to experience joy and abundance, and to practice sacred service. And those of you who are recommitting yourselves, who are in the congregation, will you please stand with me? Ah! Everybody standing with me? Yay! I love that. You guys are standing behind. Oh, cool beans! I love it, I love it, I love it. What'd you say? Oh, you can't stand. You're running the camera, so you can't stand. So Amanda's included in that as well. Johann Wolfgang van Goethe said, "Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it." To all of us, those who are now new members and those of us who are recommitting, I acknowledge your boldness in choosing to become a member of Unity of Farmington Hills and to rededicate yourselves as members of Farmington Hills. This is a deep, sacred commitment that I hold deeply. So to have you all stand with me in this, I'm excited about that. And so those of us who are in the congregation already, let's extend our hands to those of us who are new members. And we're going to do our unity blessing. You can see it up on the screen. Those of you on it, you can see it up that way.
Yep.
Together, we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we behold the Christ in you. Thank you for your commitment. You guys can be seated. And those of you who are, are we going to sing "We Behold the Christ" or no? If we don't, if not, that's fine.
Yeah, we did.
Sure.
There, you want to?
Sure.
Okay. So we're going to sing, the words will be up on the screen, to the song "We Behold the Christ in You." We're going to sing that to honor you all. Nice to meet you, Mike. To honor you all for becoming members.
See this.
give our new members a hand. And I just have one more thing to say. As the minister here at Unity of Farmington Hills, it is my honor, my joy, and my pleasure to be your minister. Some of you have been coming here a while, and we've created relationships, but it is a joy for to be your minister, and I'm grateful that you agreed to be a part. And so I'm going to ask you to take a rock and put it in so this is our rock that represents our church and our foundation and the members. The white part represents the faith that is the foundation in which we hold ourselves up and hold each other up. And so as you take a rock and put it in here, you are now solidifying, not only as a member, that you are part of our community, but also that you hold up as well, each and every one of us. So I'm going to ask you to take one and then put it inside, and then you can go ahead and have a seat. God bless you. From here and here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right, well, I'm going to put this down. Let's give them a hand. And I guess we can have our music team sing. That was nice.
All right, well, welcome to our new members and those who have reignited their membership. Daily word is forgiveness, as I mentioned at the beginning, and forgiveness doesn't excuse the past. It sets us free from it. So when we forgive, we lay down the weight we've been carrying and open the door to peace and healing. It's the hardest thing to give away, last thing on your mind today. It always goes to those that don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they cause is just too real. It takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Oh, oh, oh. Forgiveness. In the face of all your pride, moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. And even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying, set it free. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Oh, oh. Forgiveness. Oh, oh. Forgiveness. Show me how
to love the unlovable.
And show me free. There is no end to what its power can do. So Let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Yes. No, no worries. You're right ahead of me right along with me, because I was going to say, if anybody has not done the put your rock in here and you're a member, please come do that. Or when we, it'll be out in the hallway. You can do it then too. Let's give them another hand. I love that song. And we have completed our study on Revelation, but I'm going over the churches again, because the churches represent a very powerful part of our spiritual development. They represent the different phases and the different stages in our spiritual unfoldment that all of us go through. All of us go through at different times in our life and different times of our journey. But we go through them because it's divine order. In divine order, you go through certain things in order to step into maturity. Just like when you're a baby, you have to grow your teeth in order to eat solid foods. And but before you grow your teeth, or around the same time your teeth are growing and you're teething, your digestive system is becoming more mature so that you can digest food. It would be odd to be able to chew the food, but your stomach can't digest that. Amen? Same thing with when we are coming into the consciousness of truth. It is a deep, confusing experience when you are understanding the spiritual word more, learning the spiritual word and the truth of God, but you can't understand it or digest it very well. So this stage of Pergamum is important because it is representative of coming from the intellectual understanding of God into the spiritual knowing and experience of God. Does that make sense? Understanding the word of God, the understanding the truth of God, but being able to digest it by experiencing it and then becoming the expression of it. Now, there's a unity principle, which is our fifth unity principle, that says that it is not enough to know the truth. You must live the truth that you know. The fifth unity principle, the first part of it is the intellectual part, the knowing the truth. The second part is the living the truth that you know. But for me, there's something deeper than that. The truth becomes alive in you first. It wells up inside of you. It nourishes you. It activates in you this desire to be that truth that you know, which causes you to live the truth that you know. And that's what Pergamum is. That's what the Church of Pergamum represents in our spiritual development, from coming into becoming aware of God, learning more about God, and becoming the full expression of God. Is that making sense to everybody? It's connecting? Okay, good. So I'm not going to read the whole part of the book of the Church of Pergamum. And this was a when we went through Revelation, we just, as I was sharing with you, John, who was one of the disciples of Jesus, he was the youngest disciple of Jesus. He was on this Isle of Patmos, which he was exiled to because he was following Jesus' teachings. And the emperor, those who were higher up, didn't like that so much. So that was his punishment, to go work hard labor on this island. But he still had this accountability and this desire to teach those churches he was under and to still be that presence of God no matter what. So as he's in his time of Sabbath, that time of meditation, a time of spiritual awareness of God, coming into that intimate time with God is when this vision comes to him. And in this vision is a representation of what is traditionally considered the second coming, when Jesus is going to come back again, triumph over everything, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And we've already established through our study in Revelation that the new heaven and the new earth always happens every time you get a deeper understanding and a deeper awareness and a deeper experience of the truth of God. Not just the truth of God, period, but the truth of God that you are. You can't be one, second unity principle, with that which is everywhere present, first unity principle, unless it's your truth. So everything that we're experiencing and learning and studying about God is about you. You can't be one with it and it not be you, whether we are aware of it or not. And this is something that's deep for me, that I'm learning more and more. God is always relationshiping with us. Always relationshiping with us. Whatever we choose that we want to do with our free will and with our spiritual energy that is God, God will do, because we have free will and free choice. It is up to us. In unity, we believe that we are accountable and responsible for our own consciousness to bring ourselves into a relationship with God. It is up to us to choose and be the expression of everything that we are learning that is the truth. But this is what happens, which is what Pergamum represents. We said Ephesus, I'm going to go down. We said Ephesus represents our spiritual desire, that desire that leads us into knowing God in the first place. We said that Smyrna represents the substance of God that we have faith in which all things are created, that we have faith in. And through your faith, you activate it even more powerfully in your experience of it. And Pergamum represents the intellectual part of us moving into the spectrum, not just the spiritual intelligence, but the spiritual understanding and experience, where you know that you know that you know. You ever had a moment you knew it, and even when you didn't really know how you knew it, you knew something. You knew this truth about God. You knew this truth about yourself. You knew this truth about an experience or circumstance that you're going through. Even in the midst of the confusion, you knew. Now, in the midst of the confusion, do we follow what we really know? Is what Pergamum's representing. So I'm going to read a little bit. This is in Revelation chapter 2, and it is verses 12 through 17. And Pergamum is actually, this part of Revelation is actually what is used for our white stone ceremony. So Jesus starts off telling the church through this letter that John writes to the church. And remember, the church represents each one of our spiritual, it represents all of us in our own experiences with God. You got the temple, which is a church, and all the people in the church. Well, we are the church, and all the people represent our thoughts. Our vision, mission, and values represent what we stand for, what we think on, and what we do every day to demonstrate it. Is that making sense? So as we go through this, Jesus starts off by saying that he knows, this is verse 13, I know that you live in the city where Satan has thrown his throne, yet you have remained loyal to me. You refuse to deny me, even when Antipas, my favorite witness, was martyred among you there in Satan's city. Now, Antipas was a popular person who was really loudly speaking in in what he knew and understood about the teachings of Jesus. And he was brutally killed. If I remember correctly, he was put inside of a bull or a bull, and they put the bull on fire. I didn't research it, but he was brutally killed. Now, that was done to scare everybody else to come along with what was going on, because in Pergamum at the time, it was a very popular city where there was a lot of commerce going on. There's a big library in that city. There was a lot of idol worshiping going on in that city, a lot of temples to the idols in that city, and that was where the Roman emperor lived as well. So that was a deep hot spot for Jewish people and early Christians to be living, where you would be literally easily swept up and taken out of your house and brutally hurt or killed for being different. Which doesn't seem like it has changed too much. There's stuff like that going on now in the United States, isn't it? But they did not let that stop them from standing in their truth on what they knew was true and how you live in alignment with God and in alignment with Jesus' teachings. Verse 14 says, "But I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some of among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people in Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and by committing sexual sins." Now, this is what happened. There was a the city of Balaam. He was at Balaam asked Balak to come and pray over his people so that they would be protected from Israel. To pray over his people so his people could attack Israel. And he said, "I can't do that because I'm not led by God to do that." He couldn't go against what he praying like that, because he asked God, "Can I do this?" And God said no. But what he did do is he taught them how to disobey what God told the people of Israel to do, to bring your women in and tempt these people so that the men can have sex with them and marry them. That went against what was the teachings then, to teach them to tempt them to eat food that was that was blessed and committed to idol worshipers, to eat that food. Now, what that represents when we're thinking about it metaphysically, is representing any time that we allow justifications for things that go against the truth of treating your brother or your sister as you would want to be treated, or anything that is something that you know is not the right approach for the outcome that you would want. We're letting or being complicit when you see it going on. Is there anything going on in the United States? I'm just asking, because we're bringing it into today's time. That if we don't somehow speak up or somehow do something to affirm the truth in the situation, we will be allowing to happen. Even if the greatest thing in that moment you can do is to pray to affirm something more loving, like we did the prayer vigil out in the front, to pray and affirm love, peace, and harmony in the United States. We didn't go out and pick it on No King's Day. We affirmed the truth that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we affirmed that there is love, there is peace, and there is unity in this country and in this world. And when we did that, we went against the grain of what humans are doing in our country and in the world that does not demonstrate love and unity and peace. Is that making sense? You don't have to get up and be aggressive. You're not called to be aggressive. You're called to speak through love and be the demonstration of love that you want to see in the world. In areas where we are listening to the news, in areas when we are listening to the news and letting it infiltrate our mind where we get angry and judgmental, you're letting false thoughts infiltrate your mind. Your mind is sacred. how we treat our mind depends on us. Do we treat our mind as if it's sacred? If we do, we only allow the things that are holy and sacred to enter our mind. We only allow the things that are holy and sacred to come from our lips. We only allow the things that are holy and sacred to come from our actions. If we do those things or allow ourselves to continue to do those things, even when we know it's not loving, it doesn't feel right, but we keep doing it because it's something familiar, it's hard to break a habit. If we continue to do it, we are compromising ourselves. And that's what he was telling them. You're compromising yourselves. So let's look at what he tells them also to do. He says, repent from your sins, this is verse 16, or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now, this is deep because Jesus talks about the two-edged sword, and he talks about, and that is literally the truth of God that can cut through any situation and bring forth the truth. That even inside of you, you ever hear somebody, you ever seen somebody being hysterical and somebody slaps them and you're like, whoa. No, nobody saw that before? You haven't even seen it on TV? You've seen it on TV. I didn't mean in person, you know, but in TV. You ever have to shake someone or stop them from going down a hysterical place? Like stop them in their tracks? That's what the two-edged sword does. It stops you from going down the road of the unhealthy energy of the human consciousness. Now, I heard something when I was in the, when Lynette Kelly and I went to a CPR class, and we were learning how to use an AED. That's what they do. They clear, and they boom, boom, they pump the heart. I thought that it was to keep the heart going. Literally, they give a jolt to the heart to stop the heart so that it will go back on track. So that when it starts again, it goes back on track. Just like when we get overwhelmed and we pass out, the passing out is like flipping the switch so that now you come back to your normal way of thinking, your true way of thinking. You know downstairs when we plug too many things in the kitchen and it flips the switch. Circuit breaker, anybody experienced that in the hospitality team? And then you got to go and you got to unplug everything because you put too much in there and then plug it back in. Well, the word of truth is a way of stopping us from going against who we are and bringing us back into the truth. It's a way of denying the power that those things that we are complaining about and having judgment about and stepping into unforgiveness about, and even if what we know is right, it may be, but there's grace in it as well. So if the way we are expressing what we think is the truth is unloving and from judgment, we got to change that and bring it in a way of grace. Does that make sense? Spiritual grace. So intellectually, it's the truth. Intellectually, it makes sense. But spiritually, we're supposed to experience it and be the expression of it through the eyes of God. Demonstrating it through the eyes of God. And the people in Pergamum were allowing things to happen in their church, which wasn't loving. And I promise you, here, I'm doing my best to work with each and every one of us to be expressions of love no matter what. No matter what. That's not an easy thing to do because everybody is important. Everybody is special. Everybody is a beautiful expression of God. But we all also have our own ways of thinking. And sometimes your way of thinking may not match my way of thinking, but you're still entitled to your way of thinking. And I'm not going to come and try to convince everybody else to feel against you, be against you, like what they were doing in Pergamum, to change the scene, like what happened here once before. What happened here once before is that there was a disagreement in how the minister was. And against what the bylaws, I don't think it wasn't in the bylaws to do what they did, to try to change the consciousness to go against the minister, there's a way of doing it. And it wasn't loving.
And we're called to walk in a way that is truthful and loving and demonstrate grace to each other. The way people are being in this United States that is not loving, even if it's following the law is set up to be followed in a way that blesses all, that is just for all. And when you go against somebody's rights to follow up with the law, it's still unloving. But when we try to justify that, we're compromising. Does that make sense? Where inside of you are you holding on to something? Like holding on to a this is right. But there's a part of you that's calling you to be graceful and loving in it. And where inside of you, which I've gone through, there was somebody driving down 13 Mile Road. I was at Orchard Lake. And I got in the Middle Belt. There was someone at Middle Belt, and they were driving up next to me. And the person went to try to cut me off. And my instinct was to speed up and cut that person. I wanted to speed up. What you doing? But I slowed down, stayed in my lane, and let the person go in front of me. Apparently, that person wanted to get where they wanted to go quickly. That would have been judgmental. Now, it was not the most loving thing to do for him to cut in front of me like that. It wasn't. And then when we got to Orchard Lake, he drove up beside me. Oh, you about to do that again, aren't you? And he did. Zipped up in front of the car in front of me. Now, there was a car in front of me, so I just let go of the idea of cutting him off. But that was a compromising thought. Do you get that? Not only was it a compromising thought in like trying to make him right, I was being judgmental in it. And it didn't feel right inside of me. I had to hold the brakes on that. Slow my dead self down. I slowed my car down because I had to slow myself down. Because that wasn't the most appropriate way to do that. And now, had he had an accident or something, my ego would have gone up and said, that's what you get. I was back there at Middle Belt when you did it the first time, and then you did it the second. That's right. That's still judgmental. Does that make sense? It shows up in different ways. So how do we change it? When we catch ourselves moving in judgment, the first thing we need to approach is let go of looking outside of them and focus on ourselves. Like I had to look at me. Who am I? I'm not the traffic police. That's not my job. And then number two, that's not loving. What you thinking in your mind, which was not loving. I'm just confessing. I had a word for him that wasn't love. Y'all might know what that word could have been. You might have said it in your mind, too, before it came from your mouth. But I stopped myself. And then look at how you feel inside. Because what you're thinking reflects in how you're feeling. How you're reacting to the environment and the situation. Look at how you're feeling. If it's not feeling good inside, affirm the truth. I embody peace. Let's say that together. I embody peace. I am the peace of God. Together, I am the peace of God. And then we let go of whatever thought or feeling that is. You no longer have power over me. Let's practice that. Say it together. You no longer have power over me. I affirm the peace in me. Together, I affirm the peace in me. God, show me how to be. God, the peace I'm meant to be. And then you just stop and you let yourself get settled. That's an emotional smack that stops you, or jolt with the AED, the spiritual AED. Now you bring yourself out of the intellectual down into the heart. The two get married. Your soul now is aligned, in alignment with the Christ in you. Does that make sense? I want you to think about any situation that you are in right now. Think about anything you're in right now where there you know there needs to be alignment.
whether it's on the side of forgiveness, and it's always on the side of forgiveness, because if we're judging ourselves, we got it's a forgiving ourselves. Whatever we need to let go of, that's the best way. Whatever it is you need to let go of and let God take on. Does that make sense? There's a saying that says, when the going gets tough, what's the rest of it? What I say, and the going is anytime you're feeling any kind of way. When the going gets tough, you're about on your journey right now, you're having a difficult situation. Something's going on inside of you, whether you're consciously aware of it or not. If there's any turmoil going on inside of us, there's the going is getting tough. What I say is when the going gets tough, the tough go to God. When the going gets tough, the tough goes to God. And that's what I've committed myself to. That's why I didn't cut that person. And I confess, I have on a number of times cut a person off and looked at them and grinned at them while I was cutting them off. You ain't getting past me. Let's keep on going. And I've sped up in front of them. I've done that. I've done that many times and felt justified in it. But then later on, it didn't feel right. I was indignant in it, too. I didn't give them the bird. But my eyes did. Still, justification. Still unloving. Today, I was in the going gets tough. I went to God. Is that making sense? I'm gonna have the music team come down so we can go ahead and pray out. This is different than how I had thought I was gonna do it, but we're going to let God work on it. As we move from that intellectual, we're going to practice this. We're going to move from the intellectual. We're going to move down into the heart. And then you visualize how it shows up on how you're meant to do it, how you're meant to demonstrate it. Because in that moment, you are now the vessel that God is using to express love in this world. You are now the vessel that God is using to express peace in this world. You are now the vessel that God is using to express harmony and love in this world and this deep sense of joy. And it's not always easy, but I promise you, as we work ourselves through it, it is so wonderful. It is so wonderful. We get past this stage. It is so wonderful. And then when we get tripped up again by distractions of the world, by distractions in our mind, by confusion, by judgments, by unforgiveness, by any of those things that are unloving, it's easy to stop ourselves. So when the going gets tough, what are we going to do?
Go to God.
The tough go to God. When the going gets tough, what are we going to do?
Tough goes to God.
When the going gets tough, what are we going to do?
The tough goes to God.
That's the let go and the let God. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Let's close our eyes. Take a deep breath. Exhale deeply. Move into your heart. A deep sense of love and peace. Knowing that where you're going into is acknowledging that beautiful presence of God, the spiritual activity of God that is dwelling in you, moving and breathing and having its being in you as you move and breathe and have your being in it. Bring to mind what you feel that you are reconciling in your mind right now. Whatever thoughts that are confusing, whatever's going on in your mind, let it come to you, something that you are shifting and turning over to God. And think the thoughts about it. Let those thoughts come forth. Let the thoughts drop down into your heart to move into grace and love and forgiveness and peace. And as you do this, you're releasing the power of the letter of the law, moving into the spirit of the law, the spirit of God in you. And I want you to say, I speak truth to this situation. Together, I speak truth to this situation. I speak love to this situation. Together, I speak love to this situation. I speak unity and peace to this situation. Together, I speak unity and peace to this situation. I let it go and let God. Together, I let it go and let God. And God, as we step into this, releasing and letting go,
letting go of the power that anything outside of you has over us. We affirm all that is you in us right now, and we step into the truth that we know, releasing all compromising thoughts, releasing all compromising emotions and feelings, releasing all compromising actions that go against the grain of the truth that we are, that go against the grain of loving thoughts, loving behaviors, loving beliefs, loving feelings, and any habits that we are even unconscious of. I see you purifying it in us right now. We are God, and we are powerful, and we are loving, and we are one. And God, we affirm that in our hearts right now. Breathe in deeply, affirming it, and exhale deeply. Releasing all that no longer serves you. Everything to that situation being purified in the name and nature of the indwelling Christ. And God, we thank you for loving us no matter what, as you are teaching us to love you and to love ourselves as you love us. In the name and nature of the indwelling Christ, I pray and we pray. Thank you, God.
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 Thank you,
God. And so it is.
And so it is.
And we let it be.
We let it be.
Amen. Thank you. And now we're going to do our love offering, and then the music team's going to sing. So I want you to bring to mind what you feel led to give for your love offering. And remember, we're still doing the love enrichment as well. So if you feel led to give your $100 extra above what your normal love offering is, feel free to do that today. And make sure you mark your donation as well. If you do it online, make sure you do it under Capital Campaign. That will put it in there. And we're doing this so that we can go ahead and replace the parking lot and then also the put sound noise reduction or noise control panels in our sanctuary and in our social hall. So take a deep breath and exhale deeply, bringing to mind what you feel led to give. If you've already given it, just put your hand over your heart, and we'll bless that too. And let's go ahead and affirm our love offering blessing together. If you need to open your eyes to do so, feel free to do so. Look up on the screen. It's up there. Together, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you, God. Amen. And now we're going to have our ushers pass the basket. And if you just want to put your hand, if you already did your love offering, just bless it. Put your hand over it. We got something on the floor here. Is this somebody's pill? It's a pill. Somebody's pill.
Unity of Farmington Hills, when we accept that we are already forgiven, we see ourselves and others through the eyes of grace. We stop striving for worthiness and start living from it, whole, loved, and free in spirit. A place in my heart, a place that no one else could feel. But sometimes the spirit's not working in me. I couldn't look at life honestly until the day my will gave way to the truth that I found in you. And I never knew just how good it could be to stand in your presence totally free. Now I'm forgiven. And fall. And you are a God who forgives and forgets. Now I want to give you my all, 'cause I'm forgiven. Love is our reason for living. Spirit keeps giving and giving. Give it till my heart overflows. I'm forgiven.
seems I'm at the end of my rope.
Wonderful to know you're forgiven. Ah, it's wonderful because God is spirit, so spirit's not going to hold anything against us. We're forgiven, right?
Ah,
now we're going to extend our, can you face each other? We're going to extend our hands out to the love offering, sending love and energy, prospering power to this beautiful love offering. And I want to thank you all for this. This is an amazing expression of love. So I'm going to say my part, and then you all are going to repeat after me after I say my part. Thank you, God, for these gifts of love coming from hearts of love to bless this ministry of love. Repeat after me. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
For your ever-increasing.
For your ever-increasing.
Unceasing.
Unceasing.
Flow of absolute good.
Flow of absolute good.
Into our lives now.
Into our lives now.
Thank you, God. Amen.
Thank you, God. Amen.
Thank you, and thank you both. Let's stand. We're going to do our prayer for protection. Actually, let's get in our circle. We'll do our prayer for protection together. Let's get in our circle. What? Oh, the pictures for Halloween are up there. So, Dennis, your picture with, Dennis, you're in here too. Donna and Dennis's pictures up there. Are you going to show the rest of them? There we go. There's more pictures if you guys want to. As you're getting in your circle. Shuffling. I love this act of love. Every time the circle gets bigger, look how big the circle is. Oh, my goodness. And if you guys up at the top want to do a half circle so you can see the screen and see the pictures, that's fine, too. Lois. Yeah, those are pretty. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and, yeah, oh, that's me. I was an Easter, I'm Easter Bunny. I was a ladybug, and there were a lot of ladybugs, and there's a lot in here, too. The people who were, there was another church, TLC, Reverend Bonnie's church, someone from her church participated, too. That was pretty cool. That's them right there. Yep, she came and she participated. So, okay, so let's go ahead and going back to Lois. Paradise. I love that. Let's go ahead and affirm our prayer for protection together, and we do this from that heart of the spirit of love within, and then we're going to do our peace song, and as we sing the peace song, let the spirit of that song, let there be peace, and let it begin with me, let it be deeply radiating from your heart as you sing it and as you say the prayer for protection. We're going to do prayer for protection first. Together, the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And that was it up there. Thank you, God. Amen. Say it. Thank you, God. Amen. Now we are praying.
Praise God, there's peace on earth. I know it begins with me. Praise God, there's peace on earth. A peace that was meant to be. With God as creator, family all are we. I now walk with my family.
Tuning in, know that I love you with all my heart. There's nothing you can do to stop me. Oh my God.
Thank you for listening to this Unity of Farmington Hills podcast. We hope this has encouraged you, inspired you, and uplifted you. If you are unable to attend our Sunday gatherings but would still like to support our spiritual community, visit our giving page, unityfh.com/donate.